Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you, to inform you, to enlighten you, and to inspire you, and by God's grace, to activate you into the harvest field for our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joining me this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also, the other son of thunder this morning, because John is in his Concorde flying around the air. Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Give a shout out to Eddie this morning and Sophia. I'm loving you, thinking about you, praying for you. Give a shout out also to Maria this morning. Maria, I've been seeing those posts. That's so encouraging. For all of our Facebook connectivity audience out there, we love to hear y'all's feedback and what, how you're sharing, what's going on. And it's just amazing. 900 million people in the social media network with Facebook.
Wow.
Reaching the world, man.
Awesome.
Beautiful. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Good morning.
Here we are, moving the extra hour. Man, what a wonderful first hour. I mean, you know, with the Lord laid on our heart and things that are taking place. If you want to, review what's taking place in America, our founding fathers, the original intent of how things are designed and how, you know, presently there's a scheme, there's a plan going on to surpass your every representative that you put in place mm-hmm. to look after you, which means you got to start looking after you. If our representatives allow themselves to be looked over, then you're going to have to look.
Right.
You know, you can't say shame on you. You let me be taken captive and take my First Amendment rights away. You know, it's like, no, shame on us.
Right.
We need to get involved because this is a government by the people and for the people. Mm-hmm. We cannot blame government when we're the ones that put them there.
That's right.
But we can change government that lines up with our values, you know, the values of our founding fathers. And that's what's so beautiful about the design, that, you know, if we do make mistakes and things are happening that are contrary to our value system, although we'll suffer for a while, that, you know, with that, we can recover by begin to change. And it takes a while to change. I mean, mm-hmm. it takes a while. I like the way President Reagan, when he came in, mm-hmm. he started going by the law and just said, okay, fine, if you're going to go on strike, mm-hmm. you're fired. But he did. He fired all the air traffic controllers, because we've got to undo this thing that says the very people that we elected to represent us, mm-hmm. we can't let employees that work for us in the tax dollar determine our tax base, because they now are unionized and they're telling the unions, the federal unions now, mm-hmm. are telling the taxpayer in a roundabout way that you're going to have to pay more taxes because we have a union and you can't pay us less, you can't fire us, you can't do this. And so now, mm-hmm. and it was said, FDR said in the very beginning, you know, he said that it's a travesty. It's a travesty with even thinking about that no federal employee on the federal till should be involved in some union, some bargaining powers, mm-hmm. because they're working for you, the taxpayer. Right. They're working for the American citizen. And so if they have that kind of power, then they're legislating to you. Mm-hmm. They're telling you based on their union bargainings, the federal government. You're looking at, you know, postal unions. You're looking at, you know, all these unions in the federal government. And that was given because people wanted power, mm-hmm. you know, the more you give. And they say that a democracy ends once the people find out that they can vote themselves treasures out of the coffers of their nation, out of the treasure mm-hmm. of their nation. It was said, in, I think, in the 1800s. And so here it is. And so when you think federal union, you're thinking, what you think about this, that means that they can determine what their wage is going to be. Mm. They can determine what their health care plan is going to be. And they could tell the person that you elected that you have to pay us this amount of money and you can't fire us.
Right.
And so then the one that you asked to represent you is now already representing the union, and they're going to come back to you and say, listen to your to their constituents. I'm going to have to raise your taxes because, you know, these are federal employees, and they have a union, and they're the ones in power here. And we have to, you know, that's the federal law says that they have a right now to be able to do that. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Bubba's got, like, he's the one running the country. He's like, because he's determined these huge pay packages. I mean, they say the average pay for federal employees like $75,000, the average.
Wow.
And that's taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. And if it, you know, if you needed, if you need federal employees, that's one thing. But having a unionized federal employee, which means they tell your elected officials how, in a long a roundabout way, is how much they're going to have to come tell you how much they need to raise the taxes to be able to sustain their desired income and their desired health care plan. Mm-hmm. And that's it. This is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't think about that when you, if you're not paying close attention, but remember, it's a government by the people for the people, so you need to be, you need to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And nobody really that's in a union complains about a union.
No, not
it's amazing
so much.
How it works, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, when the federal government, I'm just totally outside, I'm talking specifically about federal government, you know, that as a Christian, you know, the Lord tells us that we're supposed to submit to our bosses as unto the Lord. And if they don't pay us right, you know, James writes about that, our the wages they fail to pay us cry out against them before God. But we're not supposed to force their hand and make them pay us. But God will, you know, God will. But he says very specifically, he'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. And granted, you know, there's evil people and people do things, but you can, in America, you can change jobs.
That's right.
You can change jobs. But forcing your employer to pay you money when there was a day that you didn't have a job and that you said, man, I sure do need a job, and you went through, you know, monster search, or you went something out your resumes and you went and talked to all your friends and families, where most people get jobs through references to people.
Right.
And then you get hired up, and you were so humble that day. You were so grateful that you got a job. And you're telling everybody at your church gathering, I just want to thank the Lord that, you know, God provided for me. He did. And now, like 6 months later, you're telling them how to run the company. You're complaining about the benefits plan. Mm-hmm. You're saying that your hourly wage is not enough. Mm-hmm. You know, you're saying that you should be treated better. That there's partiality in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what happened to the gratitude?
Yep.
What happened to the man and the woman that was sitting there shaking at the interview, hoping that they would get the job, not knowing if they would get it or not?
That's right.
Where did the pride come from? You know, and now it increased from there to finally people said, you know what? We need to unionize. We need to tell these people. It's like, there was a day you didn't have a job, you know?
That's right.
And now there's many days and many people don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should not have strong-handed our employer. Maybe we shouldn't have tied their hands and say, you owe me. Mm-hmm. You know, and now we allow that, and now it's happening in the government. It's happening everywhere.
Right.
And where's the gratitude for the man or the woman who painstakingly laid out the foundation and believed for a business and hammered it out and many times for years just paid the employees, not even themselves. And now there's something that's been going for some time that you show up at this particular business. But you don't understand, it started from an idea. It started from a word. It started from somebody that was brave enough to try and do something. And now you're working for what was an idea. Mm-hmm. It was somebody that just hammered out and did the groundwork, the entrepreneurial spirit in America, that people who don't live in America that are wanting to come here to be able to do that now. This generation just wanting to show up as somebody and exist in somebody else's entrepreneurial benefit. Mm-hmm. And then tell them how to do it. It's like, that's just so offensive to the person who you know, needed to hire employees because their idea grew so big and so large that they needed to give you a job and help you with your family.
Right.
And you work, they pay you, and that's it.
That's it.
You know, and that, if you don't like that arrangement, then you go, you know what, I'm going to put in my 2 weeks' notice and I'm out of here. And so, but now we turn into this everybody's like, cords tying everybody to everybody. And now it looks like that's manifesting spiritually where the government is now going to tie themselves to the people. Mm. You know? And there is no bargaining. I mean, the Lord says, come and reason with me, but he's not saying, come and change my word. He says, okay, there'll be another way to me other than through Jesus. I mean, he's not going to say that.
Right.
Mm-mm. He's going to let you know about his mercy and his grace and his love for you and his willingness to forgive you. And, you know, that's reasoning with God. And, but it's not, there's no bargaining.
Right.
You know, and so I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, be thankful and grateful for your job. You know, God blesses the work of your hands.
Right.
You know, and as you're working, just thank God for it. And if you need a job, change your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Change your perspective to where, Lord, if you give me a job, I'll be grateful for it. And I'll write this statement down and pin it to the wall so I can look at it for the next 10 years. And if I ever start complaining, Lord, remind me about it, that I didn't have one before I asked you for one.
That's right.
And the Lord, you know, spoke to me early on when all this stuff started to unfold. And of course, when you're speaking prophetically, people think you're, you know, you're losing it. How could this be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see a hand. It's writing on the wall. It's not good. Party, you know. And the one thing that the Lord had on my heart was there'll be a day that a man, a CEO who formerly wore a suit, will be working in Kmart, or no, in Walmart.
Walmart, yeah.
And he'll, which is a big adjustment, and he'll be grateful. He'll be grateful for it, right?
That's right.
And you know what? That's coming. That's happening right now.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest ministries that we have as Christians now is, first of all, to be the light, to live right before God. The best thing, the best warfare, spiritual warfare you can have is to live right before God, abide with him and obey him and love him and love others and lead other people to love him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, don't just look in the obituaries. Don't just look in the, right. Well, there goes a job.
Yeah, right.
And don't go to school. Look in the, there don't people even look at papers. I don't even know. But, you know, don't look at where they list job listings.
Classifieds
and all. Just for yourself. You know, look in the paper for jobs for others. Mm-hmm. When you find out that a man in your neighborhood has lost his job, I mean, think how awesomely loving this is. And just, y'all are walking the dog one day, and you see each other, and if, first of all, if a man shares with you that he lost his job, he is letting down his walls, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's the wife that goes, he wouldn't want to tell you this. It's like, so they can go back and go, did you just go tell me about the job? Anyway, so when you find out, whatever how you find out, you know, just say he tells you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, whatever his occupation was. What a huge ministry for you to begin to pray for him and them. Mm-hmm. I mean, realize that the clock is ticking. This is what's happening. The clock is ticking in regards to will they have a job where they can provide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The clock is ticking. Will they surrender their destiny? Will they surrender their belief in that I can work hard and I'll get rewarded for my work and that there's a job out there for me? Or the clock is ticking to saying, you know what? The government's been sending me a check now for 90 days. They said they're going to extend it for another year. I don't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they can switch. So you're actually ministering to them at that point, helping them find a job. And it's nothing more exciting. I mean, I spent my life helping people find work. I love it. I love helping with their business. People bring their businesses to me, and I show them how ways to be profitable. And if you don't market your business, you're not going to have a business to market.
That's right.
You know, and just in these different things. And help people. Don't just look for jobs for yourself. Don't, hey, this is what I'm going to promote. I'm going to quit this job and get that job. Stop it. Be grateful for your job,
mm-hmm.
and start helping people find jobs and let them know, listen, God laid you on my heart. I've been praying for you now for 6 weeks, and I found three. I don't know. You know, you don't say, go do this. You just say, I don't know if you're interested in this or not, but when I was looking at this, these three jobs stood out to me and just wanted to give them to you, you know, and just leave it at that. I mean, is that love or what?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
That's huge. I mean, a man would go, I feel so touched, you know.
Yeah.
And he may need courage at that point, because if he's been out for a little bit and what he thought was going to last didn't last, you may need to encourage him over a cup of coffee and to say, you know, you could do this, you know.
Right.
And to go in and kind of role play with an interview, or just it just helps sometimes just kind of talking some things out. And there's a lot of helpful tools about interviewing. But let me tell you some real simple, this is a, just let me give you some simple things. If you want to be hired up, This is some simple things. Don't show up thinking about you. Show up thinking about the company, because the person that's interviewing you, that's why they're talking to you.
Right.
They weren't thinking, you know, I just wanted to see that lady. I just wanted to see that man. Now they're actually thinking about how their company can run more efficiently. They're thinking about they need help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't show up thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, you can say you're a people person, but you just go, you know, yada yada means the same thing.
Yeah.
Person says it, and it's the ones who say it the most are the ones that's like, are you sure you're a people person?
Uh-huh.
You are the mailroom person. Okay, so then this is how you okay, I'm not going to think about myself. I'm going to think about this company. And then you're going to realize when you start thinking that way, you're going to go, I don't even know anything about this company. And the first thing I would ask you is, why are you going to go apply for a job for a business that you don't even know anything about?
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you're doing, you're not showing up for them. You're showing up because you want money. They got it, and you want them to transfer into your pocket.
That's right.
There's a low probability that you will have a job there. And you're doing them an injustice because you didn't care about their business. I'm telling you some secrets right here.
Mm-hmm.
Love others more than you love yourself. If you help other people meet their needs, if you help businesses get what they need to get, you're like a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
And so you show up with them on your mind, not with you on your mind. Then, since you need to have them on your mind, you need to do a little research. I mean, you could research anything today and begin to look up the company and find out about, you know, their practices and what is their vision? What do they want to do with their company? You know, look at the local newspaper where the company is and what's happened, you know, kind of search some local newspapers. You can do all this online.
Mm-hmm.
And find out what you agree with in their vision. I mean, be in agreement, you know, with them, but find out some things that stand out and have them in your heart and just kind of role play in your heart. Like, man, I really like this about this company. And then understand the reason why they're interviewing you. They're not saying, hey, I want to give America a job. They have a business they want to run.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do one of two things for them. This is it. Nothing else. And you got to do this with a good attitude. This is what they're looking for. Two things. You need to either strengthen their company or you need to lengthen their company. You're going to have to tell them how you can strengthen their company and how you can lengthen their company.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means you need to show up and say how, you know, whatever your talents and your gifts are, that you can invest those in this company and they will be stronger as a company. That if you're supporting sales, you're not a salesperson, but you are a person who would, you know, bring provision and make sure they had everything they needed or whatever. I mean, you strengthen this company and you would talk to them about how to strengthen their, based on their vision and what their goals are. And you could say, based on my research of the company, this is your goals, and they can correct you if they've changed their goals or not, but at least get your understanding of who you are. And I can see, well, I can do A, I can do B, and I can do C, and I can see where I can make this a stronger company. I think I can, I know I can bring value to this company. And after they get themselves off the floor, they're like, where did this person, did they walk in on top of the water here? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Because they're looking for help. They need help. They're interviewing you because they need help. And they will pay you for the help. They won't pay you because you need some groceries. They'll pay you because you need help. They need help. And you get groceries when you give them the help.
Mm-hmm.
You invest your talents. They give you dollars. The way it works. And then you have the other viewpoint. Maybe you're not necessarily a strengthener. Everybody's a strengthener in this. But a lengthener is a person who actually knows how to move their products. They either want to have a strengthener or somebody who handles customers well and builds a loyal customer base and makes sure they're met and make sure maybe your sales force needs are met, you know, that you don't see taking care of the boss is brown nosing. You've grown up now and you realize they need help. And any way you can help them is good. And then the other is the lengthener. And the lengthener is the person who, where they had 10% of the market, but because you're there, they have 12% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they sold, you know, 200 widgets a month. You lengthen their company by selling 400 widgets a month. And you're telling them, I have the ability to cold call. I have the ability to, if I get leads, I'm able to close, you know, a large portion. And I believe in your product. I've already seen the product. I see what you're doing. And that's something I believe in. And I know, since I believe in it, I could bring value. I can actually lengthen the market. I can lengthen your reach. I can lengthen your company. You know, I will add value to your company,
mm-hmm.
and you won't regret me coming here because I could see how I could actually do that.
Right.
And I can do it by this, this, and this. Not like I can do it, figure it out,
mm-hmm.
or lie, I can do it and you can't.
Right.
But find out how your talents can do it. And so some people, listen, strengtheners and lengtheners, they both are strengtheners, but strengtheners seldom are lengtheners. So you got to make up your mind, you know, am I offering myself as a strengthener or as a lengthener? Because, you know, somebody who's just not good at upselling, somebody who's not good at selling widgets, somebody who just melts at the up, you know, just like they freak out because they got to go knock on a door, make a phone call. I mean, they're not bad. They may just be strengtheners,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right?
And or they may need training and encourage them to get past that. And so don't present yourself as a lengthener when you're really a strengthener, because you're going to, it's just going to be a whole bad encounter. It'll be a moment in time that you regret and they regret, and you won't be there long.
Right.
Right. And you can damage that company.
Mm-hmm.
And if you work hard for your employer, God will bless you. Even if they take advantage of you, you know, God will bless you. He can bless you outside that business. He can broadside you with things, with gifts and stuff and things mm-hmm. and houses and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But this is the key. So you got to sit down and think about your interview in the context of who are you talking to? What company are you talking to? Who are they? What is their vision statement? When I think about Virgin Mobile,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, when you read their vision statement, I wouldn't work for them. Why? Because their vision statement is to be irreverent. But how many people who didn't even look at their what their direction is mm-hmm. goes in and gets a job with a company that later on, 6 months later, you find out you're caught in a dilemma because you love God, but now you're working for a company who doesn't love God.
Mm-hmm.
That their goal is to be irreverent towards God. And by the way, they're one of the ones that are offering these phones out for the government.
Yeah.
Irreverent mm-hmm. phones. And so, what do you do? Listen, this is so powerful because when you do this, you're going to be a powerful interview. You're going to be confident because you can see how you can lengthen or strengthen this company. And that's all they want to know. I mean, you need to present yourself well. You need to match up with what the expectations of what you're going to be dressed like in the context of that. You need to be timely, you know, show up early. Mm-hmm. You know, your resume needs to be done right, you know, and there doesn't need to be any gaps in your resume, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find myself.
Yeah.
You know, explain your, you know, your timeline and be taking a class. You know, if you have, you know, if you're getting unemployment, for example, they're paying you to be unemployed. So let's be looking for a job. You could take a vocational class right there in your community an hour a week that helps you when you go to the interview and say, listen, I've been taking a vocational class in regards to this, because I really wanted to have this be a meaningful interview to show you my sincerity. And I wanted to be able to kind of tweak a little bit my talents in this area because I see that I can lengthen this company. I really believe in the product. I mean, if it changes, I don't know. But right mm-hmm. now, what you're standing for, I just really believe that I can strengthen this thing. I mean, come on. Right. If you've ever been a business owner, you're going like, where did you come from?
Mm-hmm.
How much money do you need?
Right,
you know,
right.
You're taking this burden off of them. Yeah, they're looking, you know, they're looking mm-hmm. for somebody to do this. And truly, you know, they had this thing that was very important one time that doesn't happen anymore. It's called mentorships or internships or, you know, working for free. I mean, if you're going to get paid 6 months unemployment and you want to work for a company and you're really just, you feel like that's the company you want to work for, and presently there might not be an opening, there may be an opening in the next six months, just, you know go... tell them, I'll just work for you for free.
Right.
Just so I could just learn the trade or, you know, show you my value. You know, I have an unemployment, you know, for the next, 6 weeks left. I'll show you I can do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just in the movies. This is how you can show up. I can show you I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful, you know.
Right.
And the person, I mean, who are they going to hire? Some stranger that comes in and says, I'm a people person in 6 weeks, or they're going to hire you, who said, I believe in this company. I work for it for free, and I learned the trade, and I strengthened it or lengthened it in a six-week period or time frame.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
People do it all the time. They come in and they work for free, an internship. And think about that. Think about just, you know, you are showing up because of them, not because of you. And listen, if you take care of them, they'll take care of you.
Right.
I mean, there's people that won't, but listen, if you're a Christian, the wages that they fail to pay the workers will cry out against them, and God will touch their heart. Believe me, he'll touch their heart. Even an unbelieving boss, you know, God will touch their hearts and let them know, you know, I'm praying for you and praying for this, mm-hmm. this business. And, you know, when you make mistakes, you just openly tell everybody, you know, that was wrong, what happened and what I did, and just please forgive me. And this huge, you know, mm-hmm. witness that you have there. Right. But the secret, that's a secret. Listen, we can, and this is what the Lord had on my heart is, one of the biggest ministries that we're going to have in the church, you know, as believers, that's what the church is, as believers, is helping people find jobs. Did I not?
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's exactly it. And mm-hmm. what happened then? Everybody lost jobs.
That's right.
And now we're seeing people who are listening to this wisdom not only get jobs, but get jobs all over the place. Great jobs. Instantly, right? When God speaks, God tells you where to go, and it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
You know, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, God's not wanting to take jobs away from you, but God's wanting you to know he's the one that gave you that job.
That's right.
So you may have a reset in your life to where you restructure that you're not God, your job wasn't God. God is God, and God gave you that job. And then when God blesses you with increase, take a tithe, a top 10% of that, and give it back to God. And give him offerings, because that proves in Malachi chapter 3, it proves that you're saying that God is God, you're not God, and Baal's not God.
Right.
You're saying God is the one that's giving you increase. Listen, there is hope. We're seeing people get jobs who listen to the fullness of what God says, you know, turning to God, giving their hearts to God, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, beginning to abide with him, to be hanging out with people who are rightly related and saying, you know what? I'm going to quit living my life for myself. I'm going to start living my life for you, God. And as soon as they do that, man, God just rocks their world. We'll be right back. Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got back mm-hmm. seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Here we are, you know, talking to the world about the King we love, about our Lord and our Savior, and we're able to tell them how much he loves them and thinks about them, and and how urgently or anxiously he awaits the moment that you recognize that he's always been around you, waiting for you to reach out for him. I mean, he's been like, you know, here's some air, you know, here's some blood flow, you know, here's some vocal cords. You know, here's a heart, here's some food, here's a place to live, here's a nation, will you reach out to me? I'm not far from you. I did all this to see if you would actually acknowledge me. It's Acts 17, isn't it? It's like, oh my goodness. Were you going to notice me today? Is it me that gave you your paycheck, or did you get that paycheck?
Right.
Is it me that is holding up your economy, or is it you holding up your economy? Are you turning to me? It's me. Do you notice it? Do you recognize me? It's me. God loves you. Oh my goodness. You might be wanting right now to meet him. You just got to meet him. He's so good. He's there all along. He's been there all along. He's just been watching you and singing over you, by the way, and just waiting for the day. That's why life seems so many mercies are in life, because he's given us just a little bit more life.
I know.
Hoping that maybe they'll turn. If you want to meet him, you just got to meet my Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you can do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a few of our stories, how we met him, and maybe that'll encourage you to see how you too, right now, can make that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Go to meetmyfather.org.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ when I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus. There's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying. And it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today to encourage you is Pat Hamilton and Chris, and John is in the air. You know, I was just listening to the news this morning, and I try to, you know, just kind of limit that. You pick your sources. But I heard that it was said in the news, and it's so profound. I mean, it's so profound. You know, the truth, sometimes it hurts us. You know, it's like, yeah, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Right.
And the president said, President Barack Obama said, reportedly by the news, he said that, because the United Nations, he talked about that not only do we need to protect the deformation of the Prophet Muhammad, but also Jesus Christ when things are happening, and he stood up for, you know, all religious leaders and prophets and all that
right.
type of thing, which was pretty, you know, hey, you know, but they've been, you know, ridiculing, you know, Jesus for years.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see radical Islam be supportive of Jesus, but we would be very happy for that.
Right.
Anyway, but this is what he said. He said, you know, his policies and things he's going on, and it appears, you know, if a man's values are measured by his policies, then you kind of see his values.
Mm-hmm.
And he made this statement, and this is a statement that was reportedly he said yesterday on the campaign trail, was that I am a Christian like most Americans are. So the first way you can take that, you could say, like, well, most Americans are Christian, and he's one amongst the many Americans. But then that's not how it came over to me in my spirit. It came over to my spirit was that he's telling the truth about America. We can't, you know, we can't be politically correct in our own. We got to be honest, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am a Christian like most Americans, and I'm adding this part, are Christians. What I allow in my life and what I do, most Christians do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is Jehoiakim, if he is a set man by God, and we believe that God's put him in place.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Pierce confirmed it. We've seen it. And
right.
that the reason why President Barack Obama is in this office right this moment is because God wanted him there. He's God's set man. And what did he say? He said yesterday on the campaign trail, you know, that I am a Christian like most Americans are Christians. In other words, if you look at me, you're looking at yourself.
Yep.
I'm like, man, what a rebuke.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And so many people just jump on that and say, well, that's not true. No, if you actually, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we won't go on all the statistics and stuff, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to, you know, Chrislam, you know, you have Christian churches merging with Islam and calling it Chrislam.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, think about it. Is he any different than that? He's not any different than that.
Right.
He's a Christian just like that crew's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, although the Bible says this, we don't even, you know, it's just not that important.
Right.
You know, so we just kind of skip over that. Well, that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So is he somebody way out there, or is he just a reflection of the American people?
Right.
Is God showing us the condition of the heart of the church? He didn't say I'm like the people in the world. He said, I'm a Christian like most Americans are. It's like,
wow.
You know, I mean, what can you say to that? You know, because we vote for a president, and we put them in office, he comes from amongst us. He is one of us. And so, you know, people say, you know, how could this be? Like, he's one of us, you know? And quite often, he could be a reflection of us.
Right.
And what he said was that he is a Christian like most Americans are.
Mm-hmm.
And statistically speaking, looking at what's being reported and seeing how the church is presently acting and doing or not doing, I don't think he's lying.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
It's pretty accurate. And, you know, maybe it was a prophetic rebuke to the church to say, you know, you get your act right and I'll get my act right.
Mm.
You know, you want better leadership, you need to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But if he's God's set man, and I really believe he is, I really believe he's not there because of somebody, whatever, whatever. I believe God wanted him there. And Chuck Pierce confirmed that, like I said, and mm-hmm. God has spoken, you know, to us about it. But he also showed us some other things. And that's why you need to pray for those in authority over you. Pray for our president. Pray for his family and his wife and his cabinet and all of our legislatures. You know, pray that they would hear from God. Pray protection over them. You know, pray for our Secret Service who protects our president. Pray that they would be men and women of integrity who has the Constitution engraved, you know, so to speak, on their hearts
mm-hmm.
and sees the importance of protecting and keeping our president because he represents an idea. He represents every president that's ever been there. It's not about them, but it's about the idea that they represent. That one of us leads for a period of time and then we step down. That's what, you know, when Bill Clinton was being interviewed yesterday, the day before, they asked him and said, you know, Pearson brought some the British man who has on CNN interview show that took Larry King's place. He said, you know, did you ever think about a third term for president? You know, and, He paused and thought about it, you know, for a little bit, and obviously, you do if you're in. But he said something so correct and so encouraging. It was so encouraging to hear him say this because it kind of it's like everybody's forgotten so many things about America.
Mm-hmm.
But President Clinton said, you know, that our founding fathers had an idea that we would lead, that one of us would lead for a period of time, but then we wouldn't. I'm summarizing this. You can see it on Broad or Pearson. I can't think of his first name.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And and then step down and let someone else, because it should never be that long in one man's hands. And that was their idea.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you could, you know, term limits were voted in after FDR, you know, because
yeah.
they were just hanging on to him. Maybe he can get us through this. What's interesting is that this president administration read FDR's autobiography when they first got in. They gave it to everybody. And wow. he stayed in for three terms. I think he was voted for the fourth term, but he died in the fourth term.
Mm-hmm.
But so many things were ingrained at that time that nobody really knew about, because what happens when new power comes in, new leaders come in, they're able to look through all the whatever was going on and kind of reveal things to the American people, and it kind of keeps us healthy. It was real refreshing to hear, you know, his viewpoint about that, and to remind us that, you know, it's important, these term limits are important. So something good comes in, yeah, you know, we lose that when they pull out. But when something bad comes in, it only stays for a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
We think about it.
Yeah.
You know, we can get through this, you know, either way. And so that it was just brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, the founding fathers and the U.S. Constitution is brilliant. The last thing we want to do is do away with it. And we have to rethink how we're looking at our founding fathers' document, the Constitution, because just because the world's changing does not mean we want to change anything about our constitutional rights, even if it means we make less money as a nation,
mm-hmm.
even if it means we have to kind of restrict ourselves in some areas of how we're going to share our information, which should be private and personal and not available to the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just rethink it before we lose it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, praise God. And then amazing, he says, I'm a Christian like
most Americans.
You know, and, you know, I'm always a positive thinker about, well, you know, as he's right. He's totally right. Well, this is time for the wisdom moment. And we will share, we always share about the wisdom moment. And we kind of correspond it with the day.
Mm-hmm.
And today's the 27th of the month, and we're looking at Proverbs 27, verse 1. We just want to get God's wisdom over our life, you know, God's perspective. And Proverbs 27, 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth."
Mm-hmm.
Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So he's saying basic verse is like, dude, today's not through yet.
Yeah.
You're talking about tomorrow and you don't even know if you'll survive today.
Right.
And you're not in control of today and you're not in control of tomorrow. And he said, don't even boast about it. I mean, you can have a vision for your business and your ministry and your life, but understand it's always 4:15. And I'll talk about what time is it? It's 4:15. And we'll talk about what that means. But remember that it's 4:15. And your friends and people that are with you, they need to know he's going to tell you, even though whatever he tells you, he's going to say, "It's don't forget what time it is, though." I mean, I want to do that with you, but it's 4:15. Okay, I got it.
Right.
You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says this. He says, "Don't worry about tomorrow."
Mm-hmm.
"Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Isn't that something?
Yeah.
All these news programs and everything telling you, oh my goodness, yeah, it's over, whatever. You know, it's like, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, you know?
Yeah.
And you think about it, it's like, so many people have been, you know, regretting yesterday and dreading tomorrow that they've never lived in today. So they live in constant dread and regret. Oh man, yesterday was terrible. I just really just regret yesterday.
Right.
And then they pause for a moment, like, "Oh, tomorrow," you know, and they dread tomorrow, and it's like they never live in the now.
Mm-hmm.
But now, God lives in the now. He's the I am. He's the present. He's ever present, help in time of trouble. You're not going to find God in your past. You're not going to find God in your future. You'll find God in your now.
That's right.
And he says, "Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Be concerned about the now, because that's where you're guaranteed this moment, and this is it."
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You know, and when I talk about, you know, what time it is, when you think about James, when James was writing, the brother Jesus is writing in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, he says, "Now listen, you who say tomorrow or today we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year here, carry on business there, we'll make some money. Why? You don't even know that will happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow." This is really refreshing because so many people are trying to carry the burden of tomorrow, but they're dumping the burden of today.
Right.
While everybody else is living in today is carrying your load.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Can't you help me? But today, I know tomorrow is there, but listen, today. He says, "Well, you don't even know that what will happen tomorrow. What is your life?" He says, "You're a mist. You're a vapor. You're just a vapor, like a poof, a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes." I mean, think about it. It's like, just think of a mist, just a mist that's there and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he describes our life. It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
He says, instead, you ought to say, "If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Listen, everything that we do as believers needs to be subjected to the reality, this reality, that God is the one that's in control.
That's right.
That pagans are the ones that run after those things and worry about those things. He says, just seek me. Seek me first, and I'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
The birds are taking care of everything. Just listen, live in the now. Now. You're missing out on your now. Quit living in dread and regret. Live in now. People need some help. Your family needs some help. You know, quite often people are leaving their family continually trying to work out tomorrow while your family are dying in today. Or you're in an emotional corner somewhere because you're regretting yesterday and your family needs you in today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hello, you know, join us.
Yeah,
you know, we're living and suffering in the now. Mm-hmm. We need some help. You know, today's got enough troubles. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so James chapter 4, verse 15 says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Which means when you say 4:15, you know what time it is, right? It's 4:15.
Right.
That you're saying, you know, I'm going to go to Atlanta next week. And I'm going to go to some of the churches or visit some of the believers there and spend some time with them or whatever. You know, but, you know, it's always 4:15.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you saying? You're saying, you know what? That's what I would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if God has other plans in store, I'm cool with that. A lot of people are stressing out because they told everybody what tomorrow is like when God's going, you did. Can you say eat crow?
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about it. I mean, you do have a vision. You do talk about it and you hear God, what God's telling you for your life. But listen, it's subjected to God. God may have other plans. He may have other plans in store for you. Your very life might be called tomorrow. Mm. He talks about that. And James, he says, listen, this man said, I'm going to build bigger barns tomorrow and store up all my stuff. And he says, little did he know tomorrow he would die.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready for that moment.
Right.
Because that moment's appointed for each of us.
Every one of us.
And celebrate. If you're don't celebrate. If you're not a believer, just ask for more life. Become a believer. But listen, we go to be with him forever. Forever. Oh, my goodness. So what is today's proverb? Today's proverb is Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not even know what the day may bring forth. Be right back.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us as Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Pat. Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those like 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up! You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe, and you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VF at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads, and I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah,
it's very cool. Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me at the end of the hour here is Pat and Chris. I do want to add one more thing. One more thing real quick. Like, we got to, I missed my main point. My main point with these phones, and you're talking about how the government's put 12 million phones out and given them to people, and now they can talk directly to the people, and they're fixing to launch them in this fall. Right now, you're going to start seeing probably phones go out to everywhere. That's why everybody's on these governmental programs, and they can actually get this form of communication into them.
Right.
So what do you see when you start to see political ads? What do you start seeing? They say, listen, text us. Text money into us. It says text $10 into us. You have political ads that comes up. And it says, give us $10. And so you have 12 million people who got a free phone who can use that phone to send $10 to somebody who gave them a free phone. Is that crazy?
Ain't that something?
And they're fixing to distribute a ton of them. I'm at 10. That's like $100 million in one moment.
Wow.
Think about it.
Yeah.
The power to communicate. You can text the people directly. You can create literally a community organizing effort that just flips a nation, fundamentally transforms it. Well, God bless. You're coming to the end of the Extra Hour. I pray you have a wonderful day. Don't forget, it's 24/7 on VFN Radio. Also, don't forget about checking out the highlights. If you haven't downloaded our app, download it at VFNTV.com. There's so much available for you. Thank you to those who stand with us financially and prayerfully as we fill the virtual stadiums for God. God bless.